Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tomorrow, it's Saints-Jets, third preseason game. We do know Drew Brees is going to play, and we'll be watching roster battles on both sides of the football. We've talked about him a lot this week, less than 24 hours away from that game, and we'll get a preview now with the help from Brett Martell, Associated Press sports writer based in New Orleans. He's on Twitter, at Brett Martell. Brett, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well, Seth. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm very intrigued about what we're going to see tomorrow. And, you know, Sean Payton, I guess no surprise, right? He says Drew Brees is going to play. So how long you think we'll see Drew out there?
I would expect it would be about two series. But if they have a really successful first series and score right away, it's possible he would come out after one. I've seen that before. But I would think, two series probably.
Has the struggles on offense, especially in the red zone, that 2 of 8, I think, in the red zone, and that's just scores, not touchdowns, 2 of 8 in the red zone over the first two preseason games. That just attributed to, the first-team offense, Drew Brees not being out there, Brett, or is it deeper than that?
Well, I don't think it's a problem. I mean, I think that it's possibly, all of your first-team guys not being out there, and also, in the preseason, the coaches are – they're practicing their own stuff. They're not scheming for the opponent, and a lot of the play calling is really designed to get, I think, people on film so they can, your own guys on film, so you can go back and look and see if they did their assignments right. Because really, what they're trying to do is they pay lip service to winning because they want to foster a competitive and winning culture. But what they're really trying to do is evaluate who's going to make the team, and among those people who do make the team, how much. What kind of roles they can have and how much they can really help. And they can't evaluate that without, specifically putting these guys in a position to succeed or fail in these games. So it's hard to really look at a red zone problem in the preseason and necessarily think it would translate to the regular season.
And that evaluation of the wide receiver position may be the hardest of any group on this team. How you've handicapped that race, Brett, to five, maybe six spots there that they might keep at wide receiver?
Well, yeah, I think it would be six if they're confident in the special teams abilities of all six guys. But otherwise, it might be five. I'm still waiting to see what happens with Marcus Sherrills, really, and if he's healthy and if he's going to get it, or if it's going to go to, if they really like Deontay Harris that much. Obviously, you've got your top three, which are probably the main guys from last year, being Thomas and Ginn, and also Traquan Smith. And then after that, it's kind of interesting. I mean, Austin Carr shows signs of being a guy that they can count on. But he has, what he has going against him is he just doesn't have kind of the size of an Emmanuel Butler or a little Jordan Humphrey, or the speed of a Cyril Grayson Jr. So, Austin Carr could maybe develop into a Lance Moore type of effective possession receiver, and he's got the experience, so we'll have to see if they decide to go that way. I mean, Emmanuel Butler's had a lot of work with the first team, and it really seems like they see him as Marcus Colson the second. I mean, they're hoping that he'll become that, but he just hasn't shown in a preseason game yet because obviously he was just coming back from injury, didn't play in the first one, and then in the second one, he didn't get thrown to very much, and he dropped the pass right in his hands, and that was not like what we were seeing in practice. I think they're going to want to see that in the game, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a lot of work in these last two preseason games.
Butler's such an interesting test case, and we have one of these, Brett, this every year. I'll point the finger at myself and other people who, we try to find camp storylines to latch on to and, get our audiences and our readers and our viewers hyped up about, and he was that guy the first couple of weeks. Have we overblown that storyline where – you know, the first week or so, maybe he was a standout, but hasn't been since then, and maybe he's not really such a lock to be on this roster as a lot of people think?
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, I wouldn't fault the media for buying, for promoting that storyline only because of how the coaches have talked about him, you know? So, you know, you see it on the field a little bit in practice, and you see the, how they're practicing him, you know, with, you know, either the first or second team a lot. And you hear the coaches speaking about how encouraged they are and how hopeful they are about his potential. It's, you know, you feel like there's something to that, you know, and it was just, I mean, I can only recall one throw that he got in the LA game, and that was the one near the sidelines where it bounced right off his hands.
Yeah.
But I may have, you know, it's like there's a lot of plays in the game. I may be forgetting one, but yeah, and that's why I just think that, you know, we'll see what happens in these last two games, but I would expect him to be heavily involved because I think they like him enough that they're not going to want to cut ties with him without giving him a real chance to redeem himself for that drop and to see if he can show in a game what he had shown in practice.
We're talking to Brett Martell, Associated Press sports writer based in New Orleans. He's on Twitter at Brett Martell. Other side of the football, a lot of focus has been on Trey Hendrickson the last couple of weeks, and seems like, Brett, he is primed for a breakout year in his third season. And I think some maybe forget, he is part of that, you know, amazing draft class, the one that included Alvin Kamara and company, Marshawn Lattimore, a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, you know, effort's never been a question with him. He really practices hard and goes really fast. You know, he's just very quick and vigorous, and everything about him, his body language looks good. He's a hard guy to read, frankly, when we talk to him. He's pretty closed off, and you've probably noticed that in the post-practice media scrum. I mean, all of his answers are very short and sort of
all business,
cliche-oriented. Yeah. But now's the time for him. I mean, you know, in his third season, I mean, now's the time when he has to step up and try to do it. And they may need him to do it, depending on whether Marcus Davenport is really ready to fulfill the promise that the Saints thought he had when they traded up to draft him in the first round last year.
And that, I guess it's kind of the opposite with Marcus Davenport. And it shouldn't really judge a player at all on what they say in the press conferences, but he's kind of the opposite of Hendrickson, where he says a lot, but he thinks about a lot, very introspective. I think you were the one who used that word before when I was talking to you. And he hasn't had a good preseason, right? I think he would even admit that.
It hasn't been great, although he did show up a little bit in preseason game two in the backfield there. You know, Cam Jordan, who, you know, it's funny because Cam is kind of a goofy guy and speaks in a lot of tangents and it'd be hard to follow sometimes, but he does seem to be pretty high on Davenport's potential. But he also was, I think, pretty frank. And it was funny, I kind of felt validated when Cam said, I tell Marcus that he doesn't always have to think so much. Sometimes he just has to do it. So, you know, because, I mean, you do see Davenport as a pensive guy. And but he also strikes me as a lot more confident this year. And, you know, I mean, I think it's totally reasonable for a person with a tremendous skill set to kind of, over the first 3 years of his career, not just in football, I've seen it in the NBA too, kind of, you know, it's not like a Marshawn Lattimore, Alvin Kamara burst onto the scene right away, but he can develop into someone who's really good over time. So, you know, I think I'm having a mental block, but it was the guy picked by the Texans ahead of Reggie Bush, Mario.
Williams. Right. Yeah. Williams.
Mario Williams. Yeah. He was kind of a disappointment in his first couple of years. Mm-hmm. But then he developed and he had some really good years. So, you know, I mean, maybe Davenport's on that kind of track.
Brett, that is very odd you mentioned that, because I mentioned that yesterday on the show. I went through kind of his career and said, you know, look at Mario Williams. Actually turned into probably not a Hall of Fame guy, but certainly, you know, maybe a step back from that. Very, very good career, and certainly one that probably justified his draft pick. I am wondering, this defense, with the concerns, that's the wrong word, with the uncertainty about just how good Drew Brees is going to be, how good the offense is going to be, is it important that this defense takes another step this year, that they do become among the best in the NFL if they want to make a run at a Super Bowl?
I don't know if they have to be the best in terms of rankings and yards per game. They have to have the right they really just have to, you know, it's funny because I hate using coaches jargon like complimentary football, but I understand why they use that term all the time. They have to be better against the opposing offense in any given game than the Saints offense is, yeah. If that makes sense.
Yep.
I might not have even said that right, and I apologize, but essentially what I'm saying is that, you know, the Saints have a prolific offense, and so if the defense can kind of bend but not break, force more field goals, you know, when they give up a lot of yards, get some timely turnovers, put the offense in favorable positions, I think they can go a long way. The year that the Saints won the Super Bowl, if I remember right, the defense was ranked in the 20s in terms of yards allowed per game, but they had a ton of huge game-changing plays, particularly interceptions, and a lot of them by Darren Sharper. So, you know, if they are able to get those kind of big plays at the right time, that can make all the difference.
He's Brett Martell. He covers this team in New Orleans sports for the Associated Press. Give him a follow on Twitter at Brett Martell. Brett, enjoy the game tomorrow, and I know you're probably glad camp is in the books like the rest of us, right? A little breather.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a fun thing to do, but after a few weeks, you know, in the heat, it's good to be able to, yeah, just kind of go back to the regular schedule there. I'm sure a lot of people are relieved.
Yes, yeah, step back, and we can all take a long, deep breath. Appreciate the time tonight, Brett. Thanks so much.
All right, good to be on the show. Great job. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Brett. All right, tomorrow it is Jets-Saints preseason game 3. I'm really excited to see Sam Darnold from the other side. He's a guy last year, struggled a little bit early, got a lot better later in the season, showed all the talent we saw at USC. Glad we see him up close and personal here from the Saints' perspective, and it'll be the first time since 2006 that the Saints and the Jets have played in the preseason, so a little rarity there. Open up phone lines for you now, 504-260-1870. Our text line, of course, is 870-870. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll tonight, are you watching the Little League World Series? Yes or no? I bet most of you are, at least who are listening to this show. 504-260-1870 again. Text 870-870. The last lap back in a second on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.